Each week, our sermon series has a statement of faith that goes along with it. In the past 6 or 7 months or so, our sermon series has been the same through, or our faith statement has been the same throughout our sermon series. This sermon series that we are in right now, the Full to the Brim series, has a different affirmation of faith each week to go along with the theme for that week. And so this morning, our statement of faith is a modern paraphrase of Psalm 27. Would you join me in this affirmation of faith? The Lord is my light. The Lord surrounds me like a warm, familiar quilt in layers of grace. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a sturdy foundation and the roof over my head. I am not afraid. When the world is at its worst, when grief clings to my bones, when fear eats at my confidence, when loneliness moves into my house, God sets the table, turns on the lights, and invites me to dance. So even though there are days that feel like too much to bear, I know I am not alone. So I ask the Lord, I seek and I pray, let me live in your house all of my days. Amen. Hear now a reading of the gospel from Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. At that time, some Pharisees approached Jesus and said, "Go, get away from here, because Herod wants to kill you." Jesus said to them, "Go tell that fox, 'Look, I'm throwing out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will complete my work. However, it's necessary for me to travel today, tomorrow, and the next day, because it's impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who were sent to you, how often I have wanted to gather your people just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you didn't want that. Look, your house is abandoned. I tell you, you won't see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock and my redeemer, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. I have a confession. For better or worse, I like watching Grey's Anatomy. It's soapy and filled with drama, but the writers make the characters just believable enough. You feel their pain and celebrate their joy. It's almost as if they were your friends or your family. My sister and I often get on the phone afterwards and, "Did you see what happened? I cannot believe that they did that." I have rewatched the series at least more than 4 times. I don't know. It's been a lot. But I first started watching the show when I was in college in 2011 or so, and a few years ago, they developed a spin-off show about a fire station in Seattle, which several of the doctors from the show are connected with. And there is an impressive female character, and her name is Vic, and she had recently began a new relationship after her fiancé had died. She was injured on the job, and her friend was killed in the same incident. After losing her fiancé and then her friend, her grief was overflowing. It couldn't be contained. It was boiling over. Her boyfriend wondered why she was pushing him away, and she told him, "I don't want you out of my life. I want me out of my life." She was dealing with tremendous pain and grief, and was finding it difficult to cope. But he consistently told her that he would not leave, that there was nowhere else he wanted to be, that he wasn't going anywhere, all the things that we enjoy, like music or sports or soapy TV shows, or time with family and friends, say a lot about who we are. I think the things that hurt us deeply, the grief and the burdens of our souls, the pain that feels unbearable, also say a lot about who we are and what matters most to us. Maybe even more than what brings us joy. Can you hear the heartbreak in the words Jesus spoke as recorded by Luke? Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those who God sent to you, how often I have wanted to gather you under my wings like a hen gathers her chicks. But you didn't want that. Look, you abandoned your house. Matthew says it a little differently. He says, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. I wanted to pull you in close. I wanted to love you. I wanted to protect you, to show you the way of peace, but you didn't want that. Traditionally, Lent is a time when we think about the ways that sin in our lives is keeping us separated from God's love. Sin overflows not only in our lives, but prospers in our world when humanity refuses to be gathered under God's wing. But as we consider the text today, we see that Jesus is being warned by the Pharisees that Herod is out to kill him. Jesus knows exactly what is coming his way. He knows he can't keep doing what he's doing without disrupting power, without getting noticed, without causing a scene. Some of the religious powers didn't like that. The political powers didn't like that. But Jesus told the Pharisees to give Herod a message. Jesus said, I won't quit. I won't give up. I won't stop until you stop me. Immediately after he tells the Pharisees to go tell Herod that he doesn't care about his plans, he has plans of his own, he laments that it has to be this way. His heart breaks for Jerusalem. For so long I have waited to gather your people like a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you didn't want that. Bishop Will Willimon brings the text into the 21st century. O Washington, Washington, what high hopes I had for you. With what promise you began this century, and now look how you have squandered your future. See how you have disregarded the judgments of God. I wonder if it would be something like that. Jesus speaks of Israel's prophets. Israel's prophets were spokespersons for God, human beings who were given a message, given unusual insight into God's purposes. A consistent message of the prophets was, God delivered you from Egyptian slavery. God made out of you a great people. And look how you have squandered your inheritance. Look how you broke God's covenant with you. Willimon reminds us that the prophet Jeremiah said he wished that he had a river in order to shed all the tears that arose in him over the state of God's people. The prophets were willing to call even the powerful to account, reminding kings and high priests that they served under a just and righteous God who would hold them accountable for their abuses of power, particularly their abuses toward the poor and the vulnerable. Sometimes the powerful people heeded the prophets' warnings and judgments, and sometimes they were ridiculed, ignored, and dismissed for those judgments. Maybe Jesus had the prophets on his mind because of Herod's threats against him. That's the way the powerful have often reacted to the judgments of God. And it's enough to make Jesus weep. He laments what might have been. He laments that the people and their rulers have sunk to replication of the worst aspects of their history. But this text isn't about Jesus' grief and about how bad we should feel and about the way that he went to the cross. No, our Lenten journey this year is not about grief and guilt and shame. It's about a God who will not let us go. It's about a God who longs to gather us under God's wings. It's about a God who only wants us to know that we are loved. It's about a God who will do whatever it takes, a God who stands up to Herod when all he wants is to gather God's people like a hen gathers her chicks. I remember this one time that I was in a bad mood. I couldn't find something I was looking for, and I was really frustrated. And I got into bed that night and turned off the light, and I was laying almost as far on the edge of the bed as I could possibly get, away from Eric. He didn't lose the thing that I was looking for. I wasn't mad at him. Maybe I wished that he could magically find it. I was just mad. I was just irritable. I just wanted to stay mad, I think. And everything about the way that I was behaving pushed him away. And yet he reached out his arm and invited me to lay closer to him. And as soon as I moved toward him, I could feel my blood pressure coming down. And in that moment, I felt as though God had gathered me under God's wing. No, my husband is not God. But he does show God's love towards me. And we are given to each other to show God's love toward one another. I say that all the time. I realized what I had been so focused on didn't really matter that much. When the things in our lives, like our grief and our pain, or even momentary frustrations, seem unbearable, let us look for the ways that God reminds us we are loved. There is a love that will not let us go, and it shows up in a myriad of ways in our lives. A partner who knows that when you're frustrated, all you really need is a hug. A friend who can make you laugh even in the worst moments. A sister or brother who stays with you when things are tough. Snow flurries, daffodils, birds on windows. What reminds you that you are loved? What fills your cup? Paul reminds us in Romans 8, 38 through 39, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels or rulers, nor things present nor things to come, no powers, no height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord." We have a God who will not give up and who will not ever let us go. Amen. Let us go to God in prayer. Holy and gracious God, you who come beside us and cover us with the shadow of your wing, you hear the cries of our hearts. You know our joys and sorrows. As we journey through trials and temptations, we remember that you give us grace, and that gives us joy. But we also know that there is great sadness and pain in our world that cannot be ignored even while we rejoice in your goodness and love. So today and every day, we pray for the brokenness of our world. We pray for those in mourning due to natural causes, natural disasters, tragedy, and war. We pray for those who are suffering from illness, depression, from grief, from loneliness, from stress, from fear, from hunger and homelessness. from injustice, and for all those without hope. We pray for students, teachers, parents, and staff in all levels of education. We pray for world leaders and refugees. We pray for our military, first responders, and medical professionals. We lift each of these up because we want our hearts to break for what breaks yours. Help us to use our words to offer healing and hope. Use our hands for service, and use our feet to follow you. And so we pray together the prayer that leads us here at the gathering at Scott Memorial. If you would turn your eyes to the screen. God, help us to gather with you, to feed the body, mind, and spirit, while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray.